You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, a very warm welcome along to the weekly edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Nice to have you with us again, Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ. And ready to break down the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the PGA Tour event this week. Dave, first of all, a good morning to you. Welcome along. How are you doing? And all those other predictable starting points.
Yes, I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I'm not too bad. I was saying to you off air, last week was as frustrated as I've ever been on the back of a golf tournament's conclusion. From a betting perspective, anyway, Colin Morikawa, he's just a heartbreaker, Dave Tindall.
Remind everyone what you said then.
Well, I just said that I did say on the podcast, I listened back to it, that I thought he was the right price at 35-1. He had been a little bit bigger earlier on in the week, but just in comparison to those guys in the world rankings around him, he was overpriced. And two of his three wins had come on Jack Nicklaus designed golf courses. We thought it was going to be a second shot golf course, and he might be the best iron player since Tiger Woods, Dave.
Yeah, fantastic, wasn't it? He was playing brilliantly tee to green for the first 2 days, and it was kind of it signaled his chances if he could just do something with the putter on the weekend, and then obviously he slipped clear of the field. And to be honest, I had no doubt he would get it done on Sunday. He's sort of too solid. I don't know. So a lot of players with maybe a 3-shot lead he had, you would have thought, well, a poor start and he might come back. But I honestly didn't think anyone would catch him.
It's the biggest compliment you can play Colin Morikawa is that the back nine on Sunday was boring, wasn't it? Because you just know if he's 130, 140, 150 yards out, you expect him to hit it to 8 feet, don't you? And it does happen with monotonous regularity. And I honestly believe that he's the best iron player since Tiger. And I know you can throw maybe Justin Thomas into the mix there as well, but Morikawa is just so consistent with iron in hand. And the thing that put me off last week was the putting, really, because he putted so badly the week before. And he had this new grip going on as well. And that kind of gets into your head, doesn't it? But we know that putting is such a huge variable, don't we? Week in, week out. And he's shown in the past, like at the PGA Championship, he can get hot with the putter. And he did last week. It wasn't sensational with the putter by any means, but ranked inside the top 15, I think, in strokes gained putting. And if he does that, he's going to win golf tournaments, Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, and obviously, you're comparing him to Tiger in terms of kind of as an iron player, that was always Tiger's most reliable trait. And it kind of ties in with mental strength, doesn't it? I mean, Tiger's big thing was his mentality. And Morikawa, but maybe that's fueled by the reliability of your iron play. You kind of, if you're hitting it, maybe like a McIlroy, you don't quite have full trust in it. Maybe it gets into your head as well. But Morikawa, as you say, iron in hand, knows where he's going. That must fuel so much confidence in him. And it's kind of those two things. Yeah, I mean, we've seen him close out a USPGA and win a major so young. And these are all building blocks, aren't they? The more he does this, the more he wins from the front. You thought, wow, he's some player.
What did you make to the golf course? A lot talked about the concession golf club throughout the course of the week. I don't know why anyone would want to be a member there, Dave, a regular player, week in, week out, because I know the winning score, what was it, 18 under in the end that Morikawa won with? But there was such a big gap from first to last. It made some players look really foolish if you were slightly off your game and missed in the wrong spot. So I wouldn't want to be a member there because of all the hazards and the severity of the green complexes as well. But for 1 week of the year, it was fun watching. I wasn't as in love with the golf course as many people were, but it provided a stern examination, and I suppose that's what a lot of viewers want to see, these PGA Tour players tested.
Yeah, I think if probably in your camp, really, if I was told they're going here for the next 10 years, I wouldn't sort of be, whoa. They should be back in Mexico next year, I think, for this one. But yeah, it was interesting to see as another kind of test. But yeah, I wasn't sort of in love with it either.
Any other overriding memories from the WGC Workday Championship?
Well, just a frustrating one on the betting front, wasn't it? I put up Fitzpatrick and Patrick Reed, who, you know, at one point you're thinking are challenging for the title, and then they both miss the each way money by a shot or two. So yeah, frustrating betting week.
Let's hope we can remedy that this week with the Arnold Palmer Invitational, the sole event this week. We are top price guaranteed on the top 10 here with William Hill, and we are paying 8 places each way as well. And Rory McIlroy is at the top of the betting at 8-1. Bryson DeChambeau is in the betting at 12s, alongside Victor Hovland. Tyrrell Hatton is 16-1. Patrick Reed is 20s. Sung Jae-im is 20-1. Matthew Fitzpatrick, 22-1. Hideki Matsuyama is 28, along with Paul Casey. Francesco Molinari, 30-1, along with Jordan Spieth. Billy Horschel, Jason Day, Louis Oosthuizen, all 33s, 35-1 for Tommy Fleetwood, and 40-1 and bigger the remainder. And this event, as is always the case, or has been since 1979, is hosted at Bay Hill Golf and Country Club. And it's a par 72 on which players really must make their scores on the par fives, Dave, and then hang on throughout the rest of the layout. The greens are pretty big and they run quickly on the stimp meter as well. It's not generally a course that discriminates either. We've obviously had long hitters like Jason Day and Rory McIlroy win here in recent years. Players that can obviously win anywhere when they're on their game. And then the last couple of years, Francesco Molinari and Tyrrell Hatton have won. Obviously, those two players not renowned for their monster hitting. And as is the case with the majority of these Florida courses, water is in play pretty much everywhere. And the wind can be a factor. So make sure you check out the forecast close to the time before placing your bets this week, your last bet this week anyway. It really does feel like a second-shot golf course to me, and one on which you must take advantage of the par fives.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that. But I think you should also look at par three performance, because it's not so much you're going to make your score there, but you've got to really hang tough on those par three holes, four of them there. I think three of them are over 200 yards. So if you look at maybe the last half dozen winners, they're all in the top five or six for par three performance. Tyrrell Hatton was first in that. So, yeah, it's not so much you're looking for a birdie too, but par is always a good score. You're going to beat the field average with par. So four pars on those holes. I think it maybe shows the more, you know, modern Bay Hill, where perhaps it was easier in the past, but now you've got to really dig in on those par threes. So if you're a bit loose with those, you're definitely going to go backwards. So that's another thing I would look at. I do also like course form. You can look at Tiger Woods, but you can see him as an outlier because he's won 8 times. But then you start to look at Matt Every. I mean, how on earth did he win back-to-back events? But the more you go through it, the more you've got players who've already done something at the course before they win, like Tyrrell Hatton, for example, last year. He'd had a top four there previously, and on it goes. You look at all the winners, you've always got a previous good knock at the course.
And that's interesting, because I've got 3 picks this week, and a couple are making their course debut, so we'll see how that pans out for me later on this week. Fair point you make about par 3 performance as well, so do make sure you check out the par 3 scoring average this year and indeed last year if you're looking for an angle in here this week. And it's interesting course off the tee, isn't it, as well, because Bubba Watson talks about wanting to hit driver everywhere, whereas someone like Rory McIlroy has said that you can club down and put the ball in play. Generally speaking, the fairways are quite wide here, aren't they? And you've got opportunity to, I mean, either position your ball or give it a smash, like Bryson DeChambeau has done here in the past as well. And I know a lot of people have been debating whether he will go for that par 5, 6th green off the tee, the one that horseshoes round to the left in tournament play. I think he'll have a crack in practice. Whether or not He goes for it. I think he can reach, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, he might have a go if he's kind of nowhere near the lead on Sunday, maybe, just for a bit of a laugh. But, yeah, would he go for it on day one or in contention on day two or three? Not so sure.
The carry's possible, though, isn't it? It's definitely a carry that he can make, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I might have to just judge it on the day, what the wind's doing and everything.
I've got three selections for the event.
Yes, me too.
Okay, so six picks between us.
I don't think we're going to cross over much if you're picking first timers.
Exactly. Can I have a bash at your first selection here?
Yeah, go on.
I think you're going to go with Francesco Molinari this week.
Yes. You've nailed one of them. I'm not sure he was my first one, but shall I start with him then?
I just brought the par three scoring, and he's fifth, isn't he, in par three scoring this season, and obviously a previous winner here in Fine Fettle at the moment, and he was on my radar as well at 30-1 this week.
Yeah, is he still 30s? I thought maybe he's clipped to 28s. Possibly.
Let me just have a quick check. Oh yeah, 28-1. I do apologise.
Yeah, maybe trying to give you
an extra couple of points there.
Yeah, but yeah, for what you say, he's playing the par three as well this season. Already showing some nice return to form, scoring with 8th at the American Express, 10th at Torrey Pines. Then he went to Riviera, didn't he? And that was the one where he got no previous course form, but we found out he'd become a member there. Really dug in deep and finished 8th there, which was a nice story, wasn't it, for him? Joins his course, works it all out, hangs tough, finishes with 67 to finish in the top 8. Putted well as well. That's always a big thing with him. He was gained 3 strokes with a putter there at the Genesis, but obviously Bay Hill, he's always going to be on the shortlist, not just because he won last year, because he'd kind of telegraphed it, hadn't he, with a string of good performances. He's played here 7 times, never worse than 34th. He's got a 5th in 2014, 9th 2016, 7th 2017, won it in 2019, didn't play last year. So fantastic form at the course, really in good form. He's got his confidence back. So I can't really find a hole in the argument for him this week. Good tee to green, positive in all the strokes gain categories at Riviera. So, I expect him to come back and challenge this week. And 28th, it was just fine. I don't think he's been collared too much.
Okay, 28-1, Francesco Molinari, Dave's first selection here. My first player, you'll be glad to know, has played the golf course before, which is obviously going to be an added advantage this week. Sam Burns is my first selection at 40-1. He's just got to be a player this week, hasn't he, at that price, in my opinion. He's having a superb season. Now he gets to go to Florida on Bermuda grass greens, where historically he's shown his best form in the past. And he's competed on 2 extremely difficult golf courses this season, finishing 3rd at Riviera on his latest start and went into Sunday with a chance at Torrey Pines as well. Approach play has been superb. He ranks 15th in this field in approach play in his last 50 rounds. And we know he can take advantage of the par fives as well. He's 3 years of experience at the course. Hasn't pulled up any trees here, but he puts the greens superbly. That's one stat that has been sticking out in his performances at Bay Hill so far. Needs to improve his around the green play, but there's a chance now with experience at this track that he can do that. He can have some shocking weeks scrambling, Sam Burns. Hopefully it's the case that he doesn't miss too many greens this week, and he can contend, I think, at 40-1, Sam Burns. I thought it was a fine each way price this week.
Yeah, jolly good. I shall go for another 28-1 shot in Paul Casey.
Oh, okay.
We're biggest price on Casey, and I particularly do like that price. I think you need to be judging Paul Casey on what he's done in the last few months rather than maybe across the board for a few years when 28-1 might not have thrilled you too much, but I think he absolutely deserves to be that price at the moment. He's 8th in the American Express, then he won the Dubai Desert Classic, stayed in the Middle East to finish 12th at Saudi, then flew across to a long flight, long difference in time zone, to Pebble Beach, and was 5th. So 8-1-12-5 in his last four starts. And I like what he's doing as well with the putter. You always think Casey's going to strike the ball well, but in the last two events, Saudi and Pebble, he's gained a combined, well, over 9 strokes with the putter. So I think you add that to what he already brings to the table and he's suddenly, you know, a dangerous animal. Two starts ago at Bay Hill, he was 9th, so he's got a bit of course form there. Hasn't played it for a few years, but the other thing I really like about him, he's won the Valspar Championship. So two of his last three starts in Florida, he's won, both at the Valspar Championship. Now, that is a tough Florida course. It's not one of these easier ones where, you know, you're going to shoot around 20 under. That is tough scoring there. So it's going to be a tougher Bay Hill we see from now. Then I think Casey's got it, you know, got the tools to deal with it. So a very good Florida player. Lots of good memories there because you remember the first Valspar when he hadn't won in the States for 9 years, I think. That drought ended. So it's hard to find much of a hole in what he's doing. And I think, you know, I think he'll contend at the Masters as well, Paul Casey. I just think he's in a great place.
What's your gut feeling in terms of how the course is going to play this week then? Do you think last year, I mean, Tyrrell Hatton won with 4 under par last year. That seems to be a little bit
tough.
That was an outlier, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe sort of something early double digits, 11, 12 under maybe.
Yeah. Paul Casey, a couple of selections at 28-1 for Dave. Now I'll get onto the players with the lack of course experience here. Will Zalatoris is my second selection at 40-1. I'm leaning heavily on approach play this week. And I guess as a consequence to that, I've got to play Will Zalatoris, who should be an ideal candidate on this course. He's just an elite iron player. We saw one of those win last week, who will be able to take advantage of the par fives. He ranks 16th on tour this season in par five scoring. Last week, he finished 22nd at the concession, despite being awful with the putter. And if he can put averagely, I can see him finding his way onto the first page of the leaderboard, as he has done a few times in his burgeoning career already. It's not a strong field away from the top, maybe handful in the betting, top two or three in the betting. And I think Zalatoris at this venue, it's an ideal opportunity for him to claim his first PGA Tour title. So I like a couple of players at 40s, Sam Burns being one and Will Zalatoris, Dave, being the other.
Yeah, jolly good. I'm going to throw in a 40s as well.
Okay.
Can you play? Can you predict?
I'm going to have a quick look. Let me scan through the betting.
I don't think it's too hard.
I know, I think it's the only other one, isn't it? Mark Leishman?
Yes, yeah. If I'm kind of nailing my colours to course form, then I can't leave Mark Leishman out. He's been fantastic at this place. Third way back in 2011, he won it in 2017. Seventh when defending, another top 25 in 2019, and runner-up last year. So he's played in a variety of conditions, always seems to do well there. I think he's coming back to form as well. He's had a solid start to the year, 4th at the Sony, another course he typically does well on. Mm-hmm. Wasn't brilliant last week, but I think the big difference if you go through his stats, you go back a little bit to maybe end of last year and the very start of this year, he was losing strokes galore to the field in strokes game putting, like 5 a tournament. I mean, that was really holding him back. But the last four, gained 2.5 strokes at the Sony, 4.3 at the Farmers, 2.5 at the Genesis, 4.9 at the Workday. Obviously, the Workday at Florida, Bermuda Green. So you add in that strong putting to the course form and everything else. His tee to green wasn't so great last week, but some players it clicks and it doesn't click, and I wouldn't be too worried about that for him. I think he's generally the trend is good with Mark Leishman, and that course form really does get it going for me. It's a funny event in terms of, if you look at the list of previous winners, there's lots of internationals and Europeans rather than Americans, so that's another a little angle, maybe. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe a lot of them live over in Florida now, or it's the wind. But it's been a good event for the non-Americans. So that I've got a hat trick of them batting for me this week.
You have. I've got one non-American as well as my last selection. An Aussie as well, but making his debut at the course. Cameron Davis is my third pick here. I've got a soft spot for Cam. I just think he's going to end up being a huge player on the PGA Tour. Massive talent. We had back-to-back Australian winners. Obviously, you've gone with one of them. Mark Leishman won this in 2016. Jason Day in 2017. And hopeful Cameron Davis might be able to add his name to the list. If not, definitely hit the frame here with the eight places on offer. He's just hitting it absolutely superbly from tee to green. He picked up six strokes with his long game at the Sony, seven at the Amex, 10 at the Farmers, six at Pebble, and 1.5 at Riv as well. That's elite iron play in this field elite player tee to green in this field. And this is a course that really rewards that kind of striking. He's a little bit boom or bust with a putter, but he can play when missing a green, good around the green. And he's just got an all-round quality game, and he ranks 15th in strokes gained off the tee this season. I think there's a big week coming for Cameron Davis, and I know, obviously, he's not got the course form that might be a requisite this week. We'll see. But 70-1, a fine each-way play, I think, Cameron Davis at that sort of price, given the form and the way he's been playing recently. So he's my third and final selection, Dave.
Yeah, I like him. I think if you take as a broad role back in the Aussies in Florida is never a bad thing.
Mm. Let's talk about some of the other ones that just missed the cut, and then we'll talk about the top of the market, and then we'll wrap up here. Jason Kokrak, I thought, was of interest. Ninth last week, and he has got a good run of course form. He's finished inside the top 20 in four of his eight appearances in the last decade. So I thought Jason Kokrak, who's been a little bit smoke and mirrors. The putter, surprisingly, has been helping him out recently. Iron play has not been as good, but he always positions his ball well around Bay Hill. I thought he'd go okay this week, Jason Kokrak.
Yeah, a couple nearer the front end. It'll be interesting to monitor Spieth again this week after his return to form. But again, for me, he's playing the course for the first time, which is a bit off-putting. But he's a winner in Florida before Spieth.
Mm.
Obviously, 4th, 3rd and 15th, his last three events. Kind of keep it going. Sung Jae Im has got some excellent course form.
I thought you'd go for him this week at 20s, I must admit.
Just a bit short.
I
kind of had him in the same bracket as Casey and Molinari, and yet he's 20s and they're 28.
I suppose it's just because he's been third the last 2 years here, hasn't he? I think that's why he's so short.
Yeah, I think so. One a big price, if you're looking for a big outsider, Luke List, I thought was quite interesting. Mm. He's got course form 10th, 7th and 17th, so always plays well here. And he actually won on the Corn Ferry on his last start in Florida back in June. He missed the cut last time, but before that he was 30th in Phoenix and 10th at Torrey Pines. So I think he's got a decent bank of form.
Yeah, I think
that's a tough challenge.
I think he missed the cut on the number, didn't he, as well last time? I'm pretty sure that was the case.
Yeah.
A couple I want to mention at big prices that I nearly went with. Henrik Norlander has drifted out to a nice price this week, 125-1. He's just in really good form at the moment, Norlander. I thought he could go well. And Matthew Neesmith has seen this course once, missed the cut on his debut here. Over the last 24 rounds, he's number one in strokes gained approach, Matthew Neesmith, in this field. So that was a big price at 125-1, I thought. So those two stood out to me at massive prices. And we've mentioned Sung Jae Im as well, the top of the betting at 20s. But two at bigger prices, Norlander and Neesmith at 125-1, if you're looking to take a chance at that sort of range.
Yeah, another one at 125 I had a quick look at in terms of has he got a good performance at the course, and he's European. Matt Wallace, 125-1. He was sixth on debut 2019, a decent top 25 on his second appearance last year. Just his current form's gone a bit off. But maybe shouldn't put too much into that. Missed the cut in Puerto Rico, which isn't great. You thought in a poor field he might have come through, and that followed a miscut in Saudi. 51st in Dubai, so that's three events in a row he's not shown much. He was 7th in Abu Dhabi, so it's not like he's vanished off a cliff or anything, but if he did play well, then there's reason, you know, there's kind of evidence to be found in his past record.
Absolutely. Matt Wallace at a big price if you want a flyer this week. Just a quick line on the top of the market. I mean, we've spoken about Sung Jae-in, but we've not mentioned the four players in front of Sung Jae-in in the betting. Rory McIlroy 8-1, Bryson DeChambeau 12-1, Victor Hovland 12-1, Tyrrell Hatton 16-1. Obviously, they're at the top of the betting because they've all got compelling claims this week. Which was the one that came closest for you?
Hatton at the prices.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ahead of Rory in the world rankings. He wins far more than Rory has the last few years. He's defending champion. He's defended the Alfred Dunhill Championship before. Don't get why he's double the price of Rory. Well, I kind of do, but he shouldn't be.
He's the one for me out of those top four in the betting. We attempted to go with Bryson. I know you went with Bryson last week. He shot himself out of contention on Thursday, didn't he? And
yeah.
I mean, he obviously has the power to take advantage of this this layout. Was there any temptation there to roll back in with him?
Well, on the grounds that he's played here well before, he was fourth last time and second in 2018. So it's not just sort of thinking, oh, he's theoretically a good fit. He is a good fit on past record, but I don't know. Just some of the things you read in where he's still meddling around with trying to hit it a million miles. I don't know. Is that a negative that someone's put the thought in his head that he can drive a par five this week? Will that sort of override what he should be focusing on?
He's trying to...
A bit of novelty, isn't it?
That yeah, it is. He's trying to scale back, though, isn't he? He's talked about, like, slimming down and... It feels to me like it is still a... He's going to win events and contend in events while still experimenting, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, all of that, so many of them forever tinker and experiment, but I don't know. He seems sort of between strategies somehow. I mean, maybe he always is going to be, but he seems a bit more, I don't know. I prefer someone who was in a groove who knew exactly what they were doing, and he just seems a bit, I don't quite trust him. And maybe because I backed him last week and he didn't do anything, or he sort of let me down in round one. So just for the time being, I think I'm more of a watching brief on DeChambeau.
And what's the ceiling of Victor Hovland's ability? Because he's just been sensational, hasn't he, since the win in Mayakoba, second at the Farmers, fifth at the Genesis, second last week at Concession. And his ball striking is just, it's on a different planet, isn't it, really, at the moment?
Yeah, he's had two previous knocks here, only 40th and 42nd, but, you know, he's come on leaps and bounds since then. And, yeah, if he can just go on current form, he's got a win and five top sixes in his last seven starts. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Chipping, improving steadily, isn't it? It's not that's definitely a work in progress, isn't it? We heard last week that Morikawa had... enlisted the help of Marco O'Meara with the putting and Paul Azinger with the chipping, and that worked out for him last week. Victor Hovland is just... He still lost a couple of shots around the greens last week in Florida. And that's just the one area of his game that still needs work, but you can just see him peppering greens this week, can't you, and not having to rely on the short game that much.
Yeah, and last week he had that crazy hole, didn't he, where he took an eight at the ninth, which was his last hole of the day on the Friday.
And that skews your statistics, doesn't it, for the week?
Yeah, it does. And then he... Are you kind of an expert in the difference between scrambling and around the green and why you should get such big differences?
I think because... Is it because around the green play counts from 30 yards and in, and scrambling, for instance, your scrambling stats would be affected if you have a penalty shot, because it's, you know, to attempt to make par, you could be scrambling from 150, 160 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that you can certainly spin it. I mean, if you say, for example, the Genesis, he's you look at around the green, he's 48th with a minus figure. Scrambling, he ranked first. So, just seems too big, doesn't it, the difference?
Yeah.
I think you don't have to just absolutely trust the numbers. It's pretty commonly well known that that's the area where he needs to maybe improve to absolutely become a monster of a player, but he's close now.
If he does improve in that area, Dave, and becomes neutral in strokes gained around the green, for instance,
yeah,
he's going to be an absolute world beater, isn't he, Victor Hovland?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, he's. I know you said he lost two strokes around the green last week, but his previous five events, it's minuses, but it's like 0 point something.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's not far off that neutral.
It's an interesting week ahead, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it. I know we've got slightly different angles in this week, haven't you? You've leaned heavily on course form. I've leaned more heavily on strokes gained approach numbers this week. So it'll be interesting to see how that materializes. And it's a good time, isn't it, in Florida as well. We get to see some, in the UK, we get to see some, track some golf shots from around about midday, which will be nice this week.
Yeah, it's good and sort of no crazy late night finishes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a nice run, isn't it, the Florida swing. And it does offer some good clues for the Masters as well, which isn't, coming fast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the Players next week. The Masters just around the corner as well. Good time for golf. Lots of strong fields as well. And we've got some European Tour golf back soon as well, which will be nice. Anything else you want to mention just before we close things out here?
No, I think just looking forward to a good week, and hopefully we can nail the winner with six picks between us.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully we can. Those six picks, then, let me spin you through the selections for this week. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And don't forget, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10, plus we are paying eight places. Those six selections, Dave Tindall, looking at Paul Casey and Francesco Molinari, a point each way at 28-1 on the pair of those. And Mark Leishman, a point each way at 40-1. I've taken a different tack this week, obviously. As Will Zalatoris and Sam Burns, my two selections at 40s, a point each way on the pair of them. And Cameron Davis, a point each way at 70-1. Thank you to Dave Tindall, and thank you everyone that's tuned in to the golf podcast this week. And if you're having a bet with William Hill, the very best of luck. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week for the Players.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.